Welcome to the Nasty Cast.
And I never would have probably tried Spam if it weren't for my dad.
I do a lot of Zumba.
Look at the meaty thighs on this Italian player.
Well, last I heard, he had some Velcro gloves and he was hanging out with some sheep in Montana.
I was freaking brothers every way like MJ.
Zardoz.
How dare you, Luis Valbuena's a national treasure.
I'm a pepper jack guy.
Well, I most definitely have a throbbing Corey Kluber boner.
So you're delicious and sticky.
Basically, do you remember there was a show on, I think it was Fox or who knows what network it was, but it was actually a freaking horrible, horrible show. It was called The Best Damn Sports Show Ever, or period, or something like that. Do you guys remember that? It had
John Sally
and Roseanne's husband, Tom Arnold.
Yes.
And a bunch of guys. And they're literally like the marketing for it was like, it's for men. So it was just like those guys sitting around in recliners and they're like, I got a fart. Give me a beer. And that was the whole, that was the gimmick of it. And then I guarantee there were men out there who were like, yeah, man, they tell it like it is.
I can relate to this.
This is real. Well, anyway.
I frequently fart and consume alcohol.
If I had a nickel for every time I said that phrase.
Simultaneously.
At the same time. And I could switch hands with my alcohol. I'm ambidextrous, you see. It's a miracle. All right. So anyway, they used to have guests on this show, and one of the guests they had was Torrey Hunter of the Twins, of Nate's Twins. And I love Torrey Hunter because, of course, he was an Angel for several years, and he was awesome. He was really good. He was a fun guy, great in the clubhouse, great to have interviews with or something or other. I don't know how the question got to this, but it was something along the lines of wearing a cup. And Torrey Hunter's like, nah, man, I don't wear no cup, because he was primarily an outfielder. And they're like, well, what if a ball takes a bad hop or something? And he's like, I'm just going to have to deal with it. It's like, but you won't wear a cup? And he said, this is a real delicate situation, but it's too big. I can't fit it in any other type of cup. And that's the day I learned about Torrey Hunter's package.
Welcome to episode 140, everybody. Third base preview. With Torrey Hunter's package.
Welcome to the show, Torrey Hunter's package.
I am Nathan Dokken. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dokken, appropriately enough. And joined by Van Lee. What's up, Van?
That was the most like, maybe I don't know, some form of Van Lee. Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I'm joined by you, and we're going to have the great Jessica D. Kleinschmidt. I don't know what the D stands for other than darling. So that'll be great. And of course, we don't talk about Torrey Hunter's package anymore.
I think it stands for dingers, actually.
Okay, that works.
Hashtag never bunt. Right, Ron Rigney.
That's right. We never bunt. I can safely say that I've never had an issue finding a cup that fit properly.
I like porcelain cups.
I'm thinking about poor Gary Sanchez just taking one square out the Dublies last year.
That was bad.
That was the playoffs, wasn't it?
Yeah. Did you ever see the really bad Carl Crawford one on the pickoff throw? Somebody go Google that. So. Carl Crawford, he was on first base. It was a pickoff throw. He got
pickoff, dickoff.
I mean, he got nailed, drilled, like straight on. Like he had to walk around for like 15 minutes to get. He may have even come out of the game after that. It hit him square on. Ooh,
that was
bad.
That reminds me of the one thing that when I played basketball in high school, I just hated my coach. But the one thing that he told us that stuck with me that was actually a positive thing is if you get hit in the nads, what you do is you rub your elbow. So you put your hand over your nads because it hurts. But if you rub your elbow, everybody will, you know, be distracted by that. And they'll think that you just hurt your elbow.
Nice idea. I kind of like this. Too bad I don't play basketball ever anymore because I'm worthless and have bad knees. But I like the concept.
That doesn't mean that you can't incur a testicular injury at some point.
That's true. I could be just, you know, wandering the streets and that happens and I just
Warren shows up,
elbow.
He's just throwing skee balls at your junk.
I did just get a tweet and I'd like to fulfill this tweet so that one of our listeners and former hosts of the show, Joe Zachi, is fulfilled. And that is...
Oh, he already got one shout out on this show.
He's going to get another one. Bowling.
Yes, this is crap.
Bowling.
I won't stand for this.
He said, every time I listen to an episode and Manly Van Lee doesn't talk about bowling, I die a little inside. And I don't want him to die a little inside. I want him to die a lot inside. So let's talk about bowling. I don't like it anymore. Don't really do it. I haven't bowled this year. kind of get, I bowled a little last year when I started back up, but I'm done with it pretty much.
That's a shame.
Indeed.
Just a shame. If you want to ask Van Lee about bowling, you can tweet him at Manly Van Lee, as he just said. You can also ask Ron about how to use a shake weight at The Real Made on Twitter. And hey, if you're listening to us, please take a moment and rate and review the podcast with 5 stars on iTunes. I haven't looked. I don't think we've had any all year. So be the first one. Make us feel real good. Make us happy. And you know, another way to do that is by donating to our Patreon, which is now set up. Patreon.com/nastypod. And with that, with a donation of any amount, you will get a free copy of the 2018 Nasty Draft Guide, which we are currently working up. Well, not currently because we're podcasting right now, but in all other waking hours, I promise we're working on putting that thing together. There's also going to be some bonus podcasts out there. Am I right, boys?
Yeah, we didn't do that. I'll talk to Ron. We will get it done and one up shortly, at least for the catcher position. We're going to do catchers this week. In fact, for those that have already donated, I went ahead and posted our catcher rankings, and that's yours, mine, and Ron's, plus the Fantrax ADP of catchers. And I did an aggregate of the three of us. So basically, I took all of our rankings, averaged them out, and put them there. You could see a spreadsheet of that is available as a Patreon reward, again, if you're a subscriber. And then we will be releasing the guide. I'm hoping to have that done by Friday. If not, it'll be early part of the weekend. I'll get that one out. And then hopefully we'll start pumping these things out pretty quickly. I'm no graphic designer, so this is all just screw around with it until something kind of comes together. It really is, if you've seen the previews. So I think I'm doing an okay enough job. So that's something to look forward to. Definitely check us out, patreon.com/nastypod. And if you feel like we deserve a dollar, give us a dollar. Some people have, and we love them, and I will forever love them. In fact, Ron Lewis, I want to give him a shout out. He was our very first Patreon. I guess we're the patron, so they're the Patreons. But anyway, thanks to Ron, we're going to throw him a bunch of stuff as we go along. I haven't quite figured out rewards, but when we get all that sorted out, we'll post-date them as well. So don't hesitate if you want to get your dollar thrown in there, and all kinds of good stuff on the way.
Patreon, more like Patreon, am I right?
Bada bing, bada boom.
Hey, try the veal.
I'm here all week.
Here all week, folks. So we have a question from the great Barry Baker, Ben.
We do. Barry Baker sent me a message today amongst many questions. The question he wanted answered on the podcast because he has like a thrill thing. Like he has to be mentioned on the podcast because he demands fame. The question is, will Yandy Diaz get playing time in Cleveland
Andy.
With Kipnis potentially moving back in the outfield? I'll go and give my answer first. I don't think Kipnis moves back in the outfield unless there's a whole rash of injuries. And if that's not the case, I just don't really see Diaz getting a whole lot of playing time. They've got a lot of depth on that team, and it could happen, but I don't think it's going to be enough playing time to warrant excitement or really even starting him on your team. It's going to take a rash of injuries or ineffectiveness, and I just don't think that happens. What say you guys?
Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I don't see really an opening for him to be have any kind of clear path to playing time. I don't think you move Kipnis. I don't really see him unseating anybody else in that lineup. I mean, when you look at their lineup 1-9, especially if they can figure out a way to get Francisco Mejia in the lineup this year, if he hits like he has, like he did in Arizona Fall League and he did, you know, in the minors, and it just kind of lives up to his potential. Because I read, you know, as we were doing our catcher rankings, I kind of read up about they were trying to maybe think of other places to put him. I think they're pretty stout all the way top to bottom. I just don't see an opening for him. So maybe he does if injuries happen, or if he would happen to get traded somewhere else, but I don't necessarily see it just yet in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, you know, there are some pieces here that can fall right to get him a path to playing time. You got a platoon of Lonnie Chisenhall and a Brandon Guyer, and you know, Jason Kipnis. Maybe he does get traded. That remains to be seen. Maybe he just sucks and he'll turn into more of a bench player. Michael Brantley is in left field. We've seen how brittle he can be. So I think there is a chance that Diaz gets a good 300-350 plate appearances this year due to just injury. And I mean, he's definitely the next man up, right? He's just toiling away at AAA at this point. He's 26 years old. He deserves to be at the major league level with a lot of other teams he would be. And he did play a few games in left field last year. So maybe they would chance him in the outfield a few games and get him some extra at-bats that way. But all told, I'm still, unless he starts hitting more balls in the air, I don't know that he's going to be a huge fantasy contributor. Anyway, you love to play discipline, but not a ton of speed, and you're not going to get a ton of pop out of him either. So he's just a really sort of deep league guy, especially off the bat when he doesn't have anywhere to play right now. He's just not really a guy who's draftable in most formats.
And plus, too, they're talking about maybe dealing a pitcher for Domingo Santana as well. So that's going to further kind of cloud the situation a little bit.
Yeah, any number of things could happen between now and spring training, good or bad, for Yandy Diaz. One thing I did want to point out, Ron, is that you sent Nate and I a picture, and it's a picture a lot of people have seen of Yandy Diaz, of him just like super jacked up, super muscly. I always preach caution around baseball players.
Do you hallelujah caution?
I occasionally hallelujah caution, but that's reserved for the most important of events.
Okay. Do you proclaim caution?
Oh, constantly. I'm always just like wandering around, like the Michael Scott thing in The Office where he just walks in and goes, "I declare bankruptcy." That's not how it works, but he did it anyway. So the whole muscly thing, baseball is a lean muscle sport, if that doesn't sound weird, but bulk generally tends to not help you. I remember the biggest indication of this, and there are other reasons this happened, was Dan Ugla, who was Mr. Biceps 1 year, came out. He was massive. I mean, his arms were so huge that season he came in.
Almost as big as John Rocker's neck.
Almost as big. Almost as big as John Rocker's racism, too, but not quite.
His racial prejudice, that's what I was going to say. So.
and he failed. And, I mean, the poster boy for this for a while was Jose Bautista. He was the home run guy at 52 or 53 that 1 year. And he looks like a scrappy – I mean, he's in good shape, but he doesn't have huge, huge muscles. So I am wary of the muscly player in that regard. I hope that doesn't negatively affect Yandy Diaz. But, the other one I wanted to mention was Bryce Harper 1 year came in and said, "I want to feel like a truck." And he'd put on a whole bunch of muscle. And then he just got hurt all year. And it was nagging injuries. And I think that happens, too, when you're a little too tightly wound with the muscle. I am a doctor, so you should listen to what I have to say about this. But the second part of this whole conversation is I wanted to point out that I've got Twitter up here. And for whatever reason, on the Trends for You section, meaning me, Ray Lankford is number two on here. Why is Ray Lankford trending in any regard on Twitter?
You got me.
I don't know. I mean, I love Ray Lankford. I grew up in Missouri, and he was just everywhere. But for whatever reason.
Is he a giant racist now, too?
I'm going to hope and guess not, considering. But that's like that Dave Chappelle sketch where with the black KKK member. That would be that.
Yeah. Black white supremacist.
I don't see anything on Google when you Google him that he's doing anything.
He didn't die. That's the important
right
part.
Now. Yeah, he did not die.
Okay. That's good. That's a good way to trend on Twitter.
He was a baseball player. I found that out.
Maybe just go research Ray Lankford and go for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows?
That's sad. I wonder how famous you have to be to die and then trend on Twitter.
Like what the threshold is for that?
Yeah. How many people have to know your name? A million?
Maybe you go to a place where everybody knows your name, which is Cheers, which is where Dr. Frazier was originally
from. No, stop it. Stop it.
All right, I'm done.
All right, we're gonna go to our third base preview here. But one more plug that I forgot before we get to that. Listen to Fantrax Dynasty Baseball, everybody. And also our Twitter handle for this show is at NastyCastBGFS. So there's that. After we finish this up, we're going to go record a brand spanking new Fantrax Dynasty Baseball. We're going to do picks 31 through 45 of our 2018 rookie draft. And that's going to be a hoot. So here we go. Jessica Kleinschmidt is coming with us on the other side of this break to preview third base position. She is just a spark plug of fun. She's such a good time. So enjoy the episode, everybody.
Give a hoot. Don't pollute.
Time after time, if you're nasty, you can look and you will find me.
Welcome back to the Nasty Cast, and now we bring on our guest of honor for this very special episode 140 to preview third base with us from MLB.com's Cut 4, Jessica Kleinschmidt. Welcome back to the Nasty Cast.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to preview third base since none of us have ever gotten to third base. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Ew.
Bada-boom.
Hiya.
It's too bad you missed the shortstop episode. That's what I like to consider the belly button of baseball.
Oh gosh.
And that is as gross as he's trying to make it sound.
Right.
What's the catcher then?
Oh man. I don't
He's there for moral support. Yeah, there for moral support. Never mind.
So that's your wingman is really what the catcher is.
Hey, they don't call it the Nasty Cast for nothing.
High five, bro.
So, Jessica, how are you? How are you doing this fine evening? Is your back doing okay? Are you going to make it through this podcast?
Considering I told you about my back 2 minutes ago, yeah, I'm healed, guys. Like, fine now. Yeah. I'll be okay. It was just an embarrassing story and how it came about. I'm just hoping I'm better by tomorrow, so my workout isn't as painful as it like I would like to be. But I will survive after a glass of wine. I'll be fine.
That's what I was just going to suggest, some painkillers and some wine. That'll do the trick.
So, works every time.
Like a charm. All right, we're going to start with our very first segment, as we always do here in the third base preview. We're going to do ADP Wars.
War has changed. It's no longer about nations, ideologies, or ethnicity.
Instead, it's more about laser show out in Baxton, Pedroia.
I wrote down Mazzara here, and I disagree with myself.
I'm gonna give a slight edge to Eric Hosmer.
Well, you can't make us sound any dumber than we already do. And of course, how this works, it's we're going off of Fantrax.com ADP, and these are players who are back-to-back or closely grouped. And we're basically going to, debate between them and decide that, if we're drafting, which one are we going to pop off the draft board? And so we're going to start off with Miguel Sano versus Rafael Devers. And Sano's ADP is 87. Rafael Devers right behind him at ADP 88. So, Jessica, we shall start with you, Miguel Sano or Rafael Devers.
So, obviously, it's a very small sample size for Devers, but to be honest, I'm kind of shocked how close they are on this ADP list, but, whatever. OBP, they're relatively similar. Both are above average in the strikeout percentage, but Sano, I feel, is a bit higher in his strikeout average. Power-wise, I feel like Sano has a better ISO, but like I said, it's that very small sample size. So I think this AD matchup is BS, but as far as... Sano goes, I think he needs to be higher. So I think with all of that said, I kind of am going towards Sano. But that depends on how you're looking at it, too. I know a lot of people freak out with the small sample size, and some people don't give a crap about sample size. I give a huge crap about sample size, and I'm much about consistency and everything like that. And you can just, you feel like there's a little bit more cushion behind that. So I think I'm liking Sano a little bit better.
Oh, fair enough. I think for me, I'm going to lean a little bit towards Devers, actually. And it's I'm a Twins fan. For anybody who's out there listening, they don't know. And so I've seen plenty of Sano. And it was kind of disappointing because he came out just like gangbusters last year, in April. But then he sort of reverted to his old ways after that. And actually his slash line from April on, obviously he missed some of the season. It was only 91 games, the sample size here, because he had that injury that kept him out for a good chunk of the end of the season there. But from May on, over 91 games, he slashed 252, 329, 467, and he struck out 36.5% of the time. And so that, doesn't give me a whole lot of warm and fuzzies going into this season. Rafael Devers, definitely not ready to buy in, like you said, Jess, with his sample size, mm-hmm. Very, very, very small sample size. And but what he did show us is that he wasn't overmatched as a 20-year-old. He did show 35% hard contact. Obviously the power in this scenario goes to Sano in a big way. Endeavor's like not a huge source of power, but he should hit for a better batting average than Sano and a solid lineup, solid ballpark as well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see 80 runs, 80 RBI for Devers. And, Sano, he actually had surgery to have a rod installed in his leg since it just was not healing. And so just coming off surgery, that kind of gives me a little bit of pause too. So mm-hmm. I'm going to lean slightly towards Devers.
Yeah, so I'm going to be with you there, Nate, on leading with Rafael Devers. And the thing you said about Sano, too, with the injury, first off, you got a guy coming back with that that's played 114, 116 games the last two seasons. That's not a lot. Now, when he's in the lineup, I like the counting stats I get from him. You got 28, 25 home runs. You got around 70 RBIs for both years. But the problem is he's not on the field as much as he should be, and he's striking out at a 35, 36% K rate, which is a little high even for today's MLB. You know, we talk about that with a lot of the prospects and the high K rates that they have. But I think I'm going to side with Devers a little bit. And I kind of agree with Jessica as well. I was a little shocked when I saw that they were as close as they are, because I think in a couple mocks that I've done, Devers has gone significantly lower than Sano. And maybe that's just been the flow of the draft. I'm not really sure. But I think I'd rather take his numbers at a discount and have that potential for the 20 homers, have that potential for maybe 7 to 10 steals. He does strike out about 11% less. I like him for the ballpark as well. I like the lineup around him. And I don't really care about the sample size. The 58 games really doesn't bother me because I like what I saw there. But I think just looking at the both of them, I think that, you know, what you get there at third base from Devers at the discount that I think you're going to get him at, I think he's a better value overall. I'm scared off by the health. I'm scared off of Sano's 35% K rate.
And, you know, there's nothing I like more in life than ostracizing our very special guests, which is why I'm going to also take Rafael Devers. Actually, to be honest, I want nothing to do with either one of these guys, particularly at their ADPs. Sano, also, we have to include the fact that he's apparently a creepy scumbag, so that's going to kind of cloud things a bit because we don't know what the legality issues might amount to be. He may miss time because of not only that's going true. To jail or
but
also...
We don't hold that against Nate, though, either, though.
It's a special case with Nate because the Buffalo, it did say, okay, it was approving.
Okay.
The Buffalo signed a consent form, all right?
Signed the waiver.
Leave me out of this.
Sano's had his issues. He strikes out way too much, 35%+ of the time. I don't care how many times you succeed striking out 35% of the time. It's eventually going to catch up to you, so there's too much risk. With Devers, I'm really scared he's merely going to be an okay power guy who doesn't walk as much as I would like but has an okay batting average. But in this day of everybody who hits 30 home runs and walks a ton, how valuable is Devers really going to be? So I just don't like the ADP position of taking either one of these guys here. I think they're better values, so I'm pretty much going to avoid it. But if you're forcing me to pick one, I'm going to go with Devers.
That is a good point, too, about the suspension that I hadn't really thought of, although I don't. Yeah, I don't know if that'll necessarily be levied this year. These investigations tend to take some time, but that is definitely something to take into consideration. So we'll move on to our next battle here, and that is Adrian Beltre at 162, and he is going to face off against Joey Gallo, five picks behind him, with an ADP of 167. Jessica, once again, we shall start with you, Adrian Beltre or Joey Gallo?
So this one was kind of difficult for me only because I've watched Joey Gallo improve over the last couple seasons. He's come to Reno quite a bit when he was with AAA, and I noticed just his confidence level has changed, and I've written a couple articles on it. And I know people get really weirded out about the confidence factor, especially in daily fantasy leagues. I don't really care. I think that actually matters, especially when you're looking at somebody like Gallo, who completely reestablished himself, reinvented himself just from winter ball heading into the season. So this stretches out beyond the numbers in regards to when I first think about it, because I feel like Gallo is just phenomenal right now, and he has that power and he didn't even have like a roller coaster career. It was more of like a slingshot up and then down and then straight up again. It was just kind of fun to watch him grow. And I feel like he's holding on to that confidence level and he knows what's working for him. So I feel like that's going to be a huge determinant in where he goes in any drafts. And Gallo actually had a better season last season than he had power-wise than Beltre ever had in his career. And I think when you have somebody like Beltre, you're kind of excited because you know he's pretty unstoppable. He's been playing baseball for about 75 years and it just constantly just dominates. But I really like Gallo in this matchup, and I think that has a lot to do with his spunk and his powers being a little bit more consistent. Obviously, you did mention the strikeouts, but I feel like everybody's striking out, everybody's hitting home runs. It's just all going to be part of it. But I feel like there's a little bit you know, the power is there. And depending on the format, if you're not going to be hurt by his strikeouts, you could really make a great case for Gallo. So I think in this matchup, it's difficult, but I think I like Gallo a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it is going to come down to format for me. especially in an OBP league. Joey Gallo is going to be a steal at his current ADP. And I'm looking at the Fantrax ADP right now to see how far I would bump him up, and he's at the 18th third baseman on Fantrax right now. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, I would probably bump him all the way up to, you know, around Devers and Sano, around 9 or 10, you know, in an OBP league, just because, you know, he walks a ton. his OBP isn't a huge negative, you know, in that setting. And whereas, you know, a Mendoza line sort of batting average is going to kill you in standard roto. So in standard roto, I'm definitely going Beltre, even though he's old and we saw him miss a lot of time last year. So that's kind of scary. So I guess take that as it is. In points leagues, Adrian Beltre, definitely because of the play discipline, especially if it's a shallow points league as well, where the replacement level is going to be a little bit higher. So if he does miss a good chunk of the season, you know, the replacement level off the wire is going to be pretty solid, and you won't lose out too much for that. But in OBP leagues, I'll go Gallo.
Yeah, once again, format here. And I think if you're studying the numbers, it's pretty clear to see, depending on what you're doing, you know, what kind of league you're playing in is going to kind of determine who you take here, because it is so close. But, you know, you think about how long Beltre has played, the numbers he's put up for so long. Guy's a freak. Guy's going to be 39 in April. He had his biggest hard contact rate since 2011 last year, 36%, which kind of pales in comparison to the one that Gallo had at 46, but totally different games here. But when you look at what he's able to do and the way he plays defense, and when he's out there, when he's healthy, and he's been extremely durable throughout his career as well. And I think that, you know, like I said, you know, if we're going with an average league where Gallo is going to hurt you in other categories more than help you, I think I am going to go with Beltre. I'm going to go with that 25 homers, the 80 RBIs that he's probably going to get you. 10% walk rate last year was the highest of his career. And he's still doing it. And there's really no reason to think, as long as he can stay healthy, that you're going to see a drop off here. Now, you know, once again, I always have a little bit of pause with these older guys, because I don't want to be the one that drafts them and they decide in that season that they're going to have their kind of swan song as far as the production that they put up. But, you know, Gallo in the OBP leagues, for all the reasons that you mentioned, the 333 OBP pales a little bit to Beltre's 383 OBP, but at the same time, if you're getting 41 homers, if you're getting that kind of power production, that's going to compensate for you. You know, for example, you know, we were talking a lot this week about catchers with the guy that we're doing, and, you know, we looked at Gary Sanchez, and Gary Sanchez is that elite power guy at the catcher spot. Gallo's a guy you could maybe take later on to kind of compensate for some of the power if you're not willing to spend up on Sanchez early. So it's guys like that that you can kind of fill in and mix and match. One thing I thought that was kind of interesting, though, with the insane 36% K rate that Joey Gallo had. Now, I know it was only 17 games in 2016, but this number was funny for me to look at. He had a whopping 63% K rate in those 17 games. So I thought that was mentioning, even though it's only 17 games. Yeah, just so I think, like, I don't know, there was like, he was, I think, like 1 for 30-something at one time with like 25 strikeouts or something. It was ridiculous. But either way, you know what you're getting with both guys. You know what you're getting with Gallo. And Gallo's a guy that comes at a great value. 41 homers is not something that everybody does, especially at this position. So, once again, OBP Gallo, if it's a batting average league where Gallo's going to hurt you with the strikeouts and the average, I think I'm going to go Beltre.
Not a whole lot I can add here. I agree. Batting average league, it's going to be Beltre. OBP, it's going to be Gallo. One thing I do want to say here about Beltre and his age is that this is the point in the draft where I'm looking for my guys who I'm going to draft who are going to perform better than their ADP. Like if I draft at the top of the, you know, top 30 picks or whatever, those are guys that I want safety. I want guys I know that are going to perform as a top 30 player. Whereas down here, I kind of like the guys that could show me something amazing, or at least have some inherent risk, but will give me something amazing if that risk pans out. And Beltre's age is that to me. Is his age any different than saying, well, this player is going to bust out just because he's going to get playing time? So I don't really worry too much about him falling off a cliff. It's going to happen, but that's no different to me right now at pick 162 than drafting a guy and then them just being a bust. So the power is amazing with Gallo. We like it. The strikeout rate's crazy, but we at least know we're going to get the home runs for him. OBP league, it's fine. Stick with him. Average, I'll stick with Beltre.
Yeah, you know, a couple years ago when it was the old co-host, Joe, suck it, Joe, if you're listening.
That jerk.
Yeah, big jerk. But we coined a term, old man upside. you know, because all the people are talking about, oh, you know, all the prospects that are coming up or 25-year-olds, 27-year-olds, they're going to break out. They've got so much upside. You know, when you said that about Adrian Beltre, you know, if he puts together a whole season, he could beat the crap out of this ADP, and that's old man upside right there. So we can move on to our third matchup here, and that's going to be a Michael Franco versus Todd Frazier. Franco has an ADP of 260, and Todd Frazier right behind him at 263. So a couple of pretty bad seasons from these guys last year, Jessica. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to take this year?
I actually hate this matchup a lot, so thanks. So I was looking over the numbers, and that was it, and I thought about it. Well, first of all, we don't know where Todd Frazier is going to end up. And I feel like the ballpark factor could certainly be a determinant. I'm a huge ballpark factor nerd, and I sometimes go a little bit too much off on that, which really screws me up. But, you know, power wise, I do like Todd, and I feel like he's coming off of a season where his confidence is certainly going to be high. I know people get really on me with that confidence factor. F you, I think it's important in certain aspects. And we don't always know where, or we don't know where he's going to end up. And beyond the ballpark fact, we don't know what kind of lineup he's going to have, everything like that. So that's certainly going to determine it. Strikeouts wise, I'm more towards Franco, but slightly, but only slightly. So to me, like I said, I hate this question. It depends on the format, depends on where everybody ends up. But for some reason, I can't just let go of Frazier. But every time I grab him in a league, like, he totally lets me down. I trade him off and he ends up performing well. So he's just like the worst possible human being when it comes to fantasy baseball. And I hate, but like, I always grab him in one or two of my, I don't know what it is about him. I feel like he's going to, you know, have that season, and he, you know, I happen to get him at the wrong times, but he always sometimes pulls through for the other guy that I traded him off to. So maybe he'll do that for me. For me, it's kind of a toss up for me, but it depends on the format, depends on, like I said, where he ends up and everything like that. But it's difficult for me. But if you had, like, you know, you were forcing me to choose, I'd probably go towards Franco, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that I would slightly lean towards Franco as well. He's got to bounce back. I mean, he popped up too much, and that's what killed him. 16.3% pop-up rate. That was ninth worst in baseball. That led to a 234 BABIP and a 230 average. And oddly enough, if that sounds familiar, Frazier popped up at an 18.5% clip, which was dead last in baseball, or the highest, I guess, depending on how you want to look at it. But that killed his BABIP and average, 226 BABIP, 213 average for him. But, you know, at least with Frazier, he walked at a 14% clip. So his OBP didn't kill you like Franco's did. But at the same time, Frazier's speed fell off too. Only stole four bags. That's something that he had been good for in the past. I believe 3 years in a row before that, he had double digit steals, and that slipped off last year. So I think I'll go Franco here, since I think he'll be more likely to hit 260, and Frazier is probably going to be, you know, closer to 220, 230, and you're not getting those extra bags from Frazier anymore. So here we go, Michael Franco. He's been one of my dudes for years and years. Yes, last year just killed me. So I'm hoping for a big bounce back this year.
I was just looking for my trusty Connect 4 piece here, because that was how I was going to decide this again, but I can't seem to find it. So I you know, you throw out, and by the way, Nate, I was very glad to trade you Michael Franco in the Dynasty League.
I was glad to get him. That's a deep enough league where I'll take a chance on him.
Worked out for everybody. I don't know. I'm you know, you point out a lot of the numbers that I looked at here. The BABIPs were insanely low. You know, the pop-up rate was, you know, you highlighted perfectly that was the cause of that. And I think the thing with Franco was, I don't know necessarily if his numbers, I mean, if you just kind of take his name away from the 24 homers, 76 RBIs, that part's okay, but when you start looking down the line a little bit to the 281 OBP, the 230 average, I think it was more of a disappointment, not from the counting stats standpoint, but just from the fact that, myself included, I really thought he would take that next step and be that guy that you can count on at that spot, and he definitely did not do that. He put up essentially the same counting stats, but everything else just took a nosedive. You know, like Jessica said with Frazier, you don't know where he's going to end up, and, you know, somebody threw out the other day, on one of the groups that we're part of, this all free agent team of these guys that you could put a pretty solid squad together, and Todd Frazier was on there. And so the homers were down a little bit to 27. 98 RBI is pretty solid. K percent is high. You know what you're going to get with that. But the walk rate at 14% is pretty decent. And OBP blew Franco out of the water. The only bad thing I looked at, you know, what as far as with the BABIP and as far as what he does at the plate, Frazier with the 27 homers, he had 101 hits total, 27 were home runs, 51 were singles. So you pretty much know what he's going to be doing when he's at the plate. So I'm going to give a slight edge to Frazier without knowing where he's going, but I think that, you know, the ballpark, you know, factor, like Jessica pointed out, is really going to determine whether or not I would take him above Franco. So I'm going to give him a slight edge just without knowing where he's going. But if he was going to a ballpark that I really think would affect him negatively, I might put him at just a notch lower. But if I like the ballpark, I like the lineup, I might put him just a little notch higher. As generic of a kind of cheating answer as that is.
I guess my whole thing with this is, does Mykel Franco really have upside still? I'm kind of out on him. I just don't really have any interest.
I don't think he does.
I think he's now, if his best course right now is to be a medium, middle of the road third base option, which is fine. I mean, baseball's a hard game. It happens. But I just don't think there's that top end upside like we thought there was. Frazier obviously is entering the, I would say, twilight of his career. I don't think he's going to age too well, but he is walking at an insane clip. Like you said, Nate, the BABIP hurt both of the guys last year. I'll take Frazier just because we're a year removed from 40 homers, 15 steals. Whereas if we look at Franco's last year, it was almost identical to this year. He barely cleared 300 OBP. He still had the 24-25 home runs, so that was there, but no steals. There's a chance Frazier goes back to stealing. It could steal 10 bases, and that'll help you a bit. So I think I'm going to go with him just a bit. But another group that, I don't know, if I'm at this point in the draft and I'm looking at these two guys, there's got to be something else better there. If you're really in need of a third baseman, I would probably look at some other options to see if maybe there's an upside play. But if I'm going between these two, I think I'll take Frazier. Plus, I must point out, he will lead the league in tossed salad and scrambled eggs. I had to do it again.
Oh, boy.
Was that 2 weeks in a row?
What?
3 weeks in a row. Oh, no. I had to do it again. Should I do the impression one more time? I'll do it.
No, don't do an impression of anything.
Yes.
Stop.
I'm going to do the impression. It's that horrible show Frazier.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't watch that. I have taste. Well, come on.
Hold on. Okay. I'll summarize.
The only time I've ever watched Frasier is the first 5 seconds that came on after Friends.
And then you immediately turn it off, which is a good move.
And then I would change the channel. Yes.
All 12 seasons of it, I'll summarize it right here for you. Oh, Niles, I'm pompous. Oh, but Frasier, I'm quite more pompous than you. Toss salad and scrambled eggs. There you go. That's it. That's it. All 12 years of that show summed right up. You don't need to watch it. You
really
don't need to think about
bummed
it.
I missed out on that part of my childhood.
We're done.
Really
with
bummed.
It.
I did like the dog, though. The dog was kind of cool.
Eddie. I don't know how I know that. Yeah. And the dad at the chair. My mom watched it. I don't know. I can't.
I was going to say, it sounds like you hate watched it. I'm not really sure what's up. You're like, it was what a stupid show, but there was those times and the dog and this and that. Like, did you watch it? I'm confused.
I will say I've probably watched 60 episodes because that's what my mom watched, which is 59.99 more than any human being should watch. But people love that stupid show.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break here.
You
want to
keep going about Frazier? Because I'll keep going for the other half hour we've got.
We need to hear a word from our sponsor, which for this podcast is the TV show Frazier. So we're going to hear from them and be back in a second.
Nasty. Nasty.
Hey everybody, it's me, Joe Pizzapia. Baseball is back, and so is the Fantasy Baseball Black Book 2018 edition. This year, I've got Paul Spohr doing the starting pitching chapter. I've got Jake Seely doing outfield profiles. I got Sammy Reed doing DFS. We got championships waiting for you. Go get it right now, the Fantasy Baseball Black Book 2018, available on Amazon in paperback and for Kindle and on iTunes, because once you go Black Book, well, you know the rest.
All right, we have returned on the nastiest of casts, and we're going to rock through some bargains, busts, and sleepers at the third base position. Jessica, we shall throw it to you first with our bargains. Who you got at third base this year that you're looking at?
I like Danny, or we call him Daddy Valencia over at the A's. And he's when he was performing well, let's be honest, some like really pretty girl like posted it on Twitter and I was like, that's cute. So I think he's more of a bargain for me. I don't think his power will go up. And one thing that I've noticed with him was from the A's to, the Mariners, his, his strikeouts, I feel, will stay the same. I think you're going to, it's kind of like you get what you get with him. And I don't think he really adjusted to any of the ballpark factors when it comes to the, well, I guess it doesn't matter now because the Coliseum, people are going to talk bad about the Coliseum and all that foul territory. It's a little bit different. And Safeco is different too, but I think he'll mainly stay around that 22 plus percentage when it comes to strikeouts, which is fine. So you kind of know what you're getting there. And I think you're going to be able to hopefully get a lot of money, or not a lot of money, a lot of bang for your little buck out of him. His ADP wasn't so bad. I'm honestly surprised he was where he was as far as the third baseman is concerned. I think he's actually going to have a relatively stellar year just because he's no longer with the A's, and I think he's very happy about that. And I think that's going to be good for him. So I think he can do a lot with him. Also, though, in the third base position, I've noticed, if you're looking at it, I was overwhelmed with the amount of talent that we have heading into the season. So if you have somebody like Danny Valencia who's kind of left over, like, that's going to be phenomenal. So I think he's a bargain play for me.
Damn, going deep right off the bat there. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Eugenio Suarez, who is the 21st.
Which you honestly just wanted to say his name. There's literally nothing behind the
hey,
explanation.
Eugenio.
It's me, Eugenio.
Well, back when he was just he's been one of my favorite players ever since when he first came up. We did a whole episode called Juanita Suarez, which was his mother. But anyway, that is neither here nor there right now. He's going 209 overall, the 21st third baseman off the board. Pretty much everybody's already like just talking about him being the roadblock for Nick Senzel. Everybody's already excited about Senzel. But Suarez, if you look at him last year, he was a 4-win player and totally under the radar. I would expect another 25 home runs from him, sprinkling of steals, solid 260 batting average. Not sure the walk rate jump sticks like it leapt up to last year, but even so, still a nice bargain. Should pitch in a good 80-ish runs in RBI as well, and I don't think that Nick Senzel is going to kick him off the team anytime soon. So, yeah, that's it. Run.
First guy I got real quick is Nick Castellanos. I like him as the 14th guy off the board. When you look at what he put up last year, I like the homers and the RBI were career highs, but everything else took a slight dip. So I think if he can kind of maintain that and bring the other numbers up a little bit, I think the homers go up. I think the RBI go up. And he is only 25. Seems like he's been playing for – it seems like he's almost an Adrian Beltre age when we've been talking about him.
I'm sure he would love to hear that compliment too.
Well, you know, hey, if I'm 39 and I can do the things that Adrian Beltre is doing, I'll be happy
with
that.
Like Diane Lane. He's like the Diane Lane of baseball. Like, he just gets better with age. You're like, hey, girl, how's it going?
We need to get that nickname put on baseballreference.com
yeah.
for him.
Diane Lane of baseball. Yeah, there aren't that many. I think he's pretty much the only one, Beltre, so...
He's not quite as stylish, and if we can get that going for nickname weekend on the back of the jersey, we've got something going here. I think that's solid. Real quick, I'm going to throw out also Ryan McMahon, just for the fact that he's not going to play third base. The guy that they have there is pretty good in Colorado, but he's competing with Ian Desmond for the first base job. He plays in Colorado, could hit some bombs. And just on a side note, everybody please appreciate how great Nolan Arenado is and how great his complete game is, and watch him every chance you get because he's a fun player to watch.
Gosh, he's a phenomenal human being. And just, I love writing about him and covering him. Amazing family. His mom reads all of my posts about him. Hashtag shout out to Mama Arenado. Aww. Heard she was a babe too. And it's just amazing. So he's so much fun to write about. Yeah.
Very nice. I'm going to give you one here, and that's Eduardo Nunez. Seems like a bit of a bargain for me at 15th overall, 129 ADP. If he has a full season, I don't see him... I would not be surprised if he hit 20 homers and stole 35 bases while hitting close to 300. He's getting up there in age. And
what?
He hit
Eduardo Nunez?
Yeah, he hit 12 home runs last year in, 380 at bats and stole 22 bases in that amount. Why not? Hit 303.
If Eduardo Nunez goes 20-30 this year, I'll eat a wheel of moldy cheese.
Oh, we need to put that down then. I will.
Isn't that like
watch that
isn't that like a good thing if the cheese has mold? Like, aren't you like, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm not sophisticated. Yeah,
cheese is mold.
I eat Kraft singles.
Right?
I eat Kraft singles. So
Kraft singles.
Is that cheese?
He had more at bats than I thought.
No.
He had
quote unquote cheese.
Yeah.
He had 491 plate appearances, 12 homers, 24 steals. In a good year, why not? Why couldn't he? A couple years before that, he had 16 homers, stole 40. I mean, he's got pop, but he's got speed. It could happen.
No. Eduardo Nunez, if you hear this, please sign with Colorado.
That's right.
As soon as you can.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Anyway, speed, power, 15th. There's potential there. Plus, he hits 300. Moving on.
I don't hate his ADP. I will give you that. So, yeah, moving on. Like you said, two busts. So who are you going to hate on right now, Jessica?
Evan Longoria. I think he's going to really struggle. And I think it's weird because I know he has a fire in his eyes, but and he's a great locker room leader, but I don't understand why he's there besides the fact that the Giants were starving for a third baseman. But, I just don't see him performing well at AT&T. It's not a hitter's park but I don't see it. I just don't.
Fair enough. I can't say that I'm too likely to invest in him either. So yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with that one.
Yeah.
Ryan Healy is going to be my bust. He's going as the 20th third baseman off the board on Fantrax 206 overall in front of Eugenio Suarez, who is a lovely human being. It's just not right. He can't even spell his name right, R-Y-O-N. That's not right at all. So consistently just one of the lowest walk
or
rates.
Or maybe everybody's been spelling it wrong this entire time.
Whoa, Matrix stuff.
Ryan.
Boom. I got you,
he's secretly
Ryan.
A robot.
I got you.
Sorry to insult your boy. He's also slow. He can't cook a good dinner. What else?
It's probably
I don't know.
If that were the case, none of these guys would be on the list. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think they do a lot of cooking, especially during the season. Anyway, like power is his one calling card, right? 20-25 home runs. Sure, I think you can get that, but you can get that just about anywhere. So at his ADP, I'm not too interested.
Okay, I got Miguel Sano for a lot of the reasons we talked about earlier. I think that he could really struggle coming off the injury. I just don't trust a lot of the things he does. The K rate's high. Another guy that I'm going to throw out there real quick that's a top 10 guy as far as ADP that I just cannot buy into, and I know he's had a couple of solid seasons as far as batting average, as far as some decent pop, and that's Justin Turner. I just can't get on the Justin Turner bandwagon. I'm not really sure why, so I'm going to throw him out there as well. I think his ADP is too damn high.
Oh, there
it is.
Interesting.
So for my bust, I said Sano / Devers at 9 to 10. We kind of went over that. But then I also kind of wanted to bring up this guy, and I'm shocked about this because the more I looked at the numbers, the more it surprised me. This is Travis Shaw. I thought everything could be real. I kind of liked the guy. I liked his style of play. But the numbers don't really back that up a whole lot. In 2016, he basically had a full season with the Red Sox, and then going into 2017, he doubled his home run fly ball rate from 10.3 to 20.5. Virtually every other hitting metric stayed the same or worsened. He had less hard contact percent, hit the ball in the air less, his fly ball percent decreased 7%, and his spray chart stayed unchanged. The 10 stolen bases were a perfect 100% success rate, but he's not very fast. I mean, he doesn't pass the eye test on that, so if he falls off to 2-5, I wouldn't be shocked. And if he's not hitting the ball in the air more, he's not really a fly ball revolution type guy. So I don't really get the power jump as much as maybe I would have without looking too deep. Either way, he's still probably going to provide some value. He's going to hit for an okay average. He walks a bit. So he's not going to kill you if he gets drafted. But I just don't think you're going to get the return that you might think you could with drafting him.
Very good. We shall move on to our final segment here, and that is deep sleepers for all you deep leaguers out there. So we're going to dive into Fantrax ADP outside of the top 30. Jessica, you already did that with your bargain. Do you have another one down in the dregs?
Yeah, and the reason why I like the sleepers is I could talk about some of my little prospects. And my favorite prospect is Christian Babyface Arroyo. That's not super deep, but he's just one of my favorite guys to talk about, and people are always asking about him, mainly because we're not sure if he's going to actually start on the major league squad. It's probably going to be a no. He's probably going to be a AAA for a little bit, but he's the top third base prospect and probably going to be, he's the one that's talked about most for being the rookie of the year. As far as next season is concerned, even that probably pisses off Brent Honeywell, but it is what it is. So he had a really interesting dynamic when it came to his transitional thing. So he was in the PCL, and I think Gallo, that was affected with him too. And the PCL, for those of you who don't know, I could hit 300 in that league. That league is phenomenal as far as hitters go.
You got a small strike zone too, so that
I'm way shorter than Jose Altuve, so people tend to forget how small I actually am. So if you're not putting it on a tee for me, you're screwed. So I think that he had a really rough transitional period at a very small sample size with the Giants. I think he's going to do really, really well at the Trop. I just have this gut feeling he's just going to dominate. But the only thing is I don't know when he's actually going to get that promotion. And the reason why I brought him up is because I think in the last 2 months, I've been asked about Arroyo so much because I did witness him play in person. And I think he's really going to do phenomenal. Like I said, not a super deep sleeper, but he has been brought up to me. So that's why I wanted to put that on that platform for a moment.
Yeah, no, I think that's an awesome call. And I've got a couple rookies myself that I'm going to throw out there. The first one's going to be Brian Anderson in Miami. He's the 39th third baseman off the board, way down at 513.
Oh, Miami.
Overall.
I forget about that team.
It exists still. I know, it's weird.
Oh, yeah.
Technically, it exists. I don't think they have any fans, but the building is still there. I think some people will show up in uniform at some point. But Anderson, he should have the job to himself at third base there. Could push 20 home runs with a batting average that won't, make you want to eat a wheel of moldy cheese or whatever is grosser than that. So there's that. And then the other guy I'm going to throw out here, another prospect who should be up around July, maybe, it depends a little bit on how the situation kicks out. But Austin Riley out in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. He is a little bit after Brian Anderson since he's not going to be anywhere near the majors to start the season. I'm guessing somewhere around July or in the second half you'll see him. So it's more of a stash if you're going to draft him at all in deeper leagues. But, 30 home run potential if you're looking over the course of a full season. I don't really care for the approach or batting average. You're probably not going to have a great on-base percentage with him. But still, if you're looking for power, and you're just dragging the deep waters at this point. So, there's Austin Riley for you.
I appreciate the love for my boy Christian Arroyo, the new
I love him. I honestly want to adopt him.
I like him a lot. I don't know if I would adopt him, but I'm glad he's going to be a solid third baseman for the Rays.
Me neither. What?
Good joke. Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so moving on. My sleeper, the Jerko store called, and they're running out of you. Jed Jerko. ADP 338. I didn't go super deep. He's the 30th guy off the board as far as at the spot. Potential for 25 to 30 homers there. You're not going to get a huge average there, but when you're getting into that part of the draft, like I said, if you miss out on in any power guys earlier, there's plenty to be had at a couple of these spots later on, and I think he's one of those solid power guys. The lineup's pretty good. Another guy I want to throw out there if you're going super, super late and you want to throw a dart at somebody, Colin Moran's a guy getting traded to the Pirates that could maybe do a little bit. I'm not expecting huge numbers out of him, but I think he's got a pretty decent shot at getting that job, and I think he could get some solid PT with the new lineup there in Pittsburgh instead of where he was kind of blocked in Houston.
I forget he's a sleeper, probably because I just believe in him. And I don't like that his last name is Jerko because he's one of the nicest human beings in the world. I think he should change that. Because that's why I kept, people were like, why don't you just pronounce it like it's supposed to be spelled, pronounced, man? But, he's wonderful, and I forget that he's considered a sleeper because he always pulls through.
And I remember when he was coming up with the Padres that there was, before he became real mainstream, I was debating with my former co-host and friend how to actually pronounce it. And we would have to look it up because we would forget every time because it just doesn't seem like it should be Jerko. But sure enough, that's what it is.
Yeah, but Jed with two D's is badass, though.
Jed Jerko.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds
yeah.
like a futuristic, lawman. That's what it is, in my opinion.
Yes. And he wears a cowboy hat.
Oh, absolutely. And has, lightning bolts out of the cowboy hat because it's the future.
Right.
I don't know what happens in the future, but whatever. So I usually suggest taking the prospect route when you're looking this late, like your Christian Arroyos, and I still do that. But I wanted to give you a couple of names for some older guys, and one of them was, in fact, Jed Jerko. So that one was taken. The other one, which grosses me out, but if you're looking for something here at pick number 41, we've got Luis Valbuena as an Angel. And you heard it in the intro.
Oh, God. I almost thought about putting him down there, but then I saw his numbers and vomited.
Oh, they were so bad. So bad. And Nate talked about it in the intro. He's a – what did you say in it? I already forgot. Like a something
– Luis Valbuena is a national treasure.
National treasure. That's what it is. Yeah, he –
How'd you speak ill of him?
prior to last year, he did hit for a solid average for a while. And
he did.
Walk.
He did.
Yes. But it sure didn't last year. Hopefully there's going to be a rebound. He's going to be a platoon guy. They're going to play him at third base, hopefully find a decent platoon partner to hit the shorthanded side there. And you never know. Maybe if he hits 240, 250, has a good OBP and hits 20 homers, there's some value. So that's just kind of a deep old man. What'd you call it? Old man power guy.
Old man upside.
Old man upside guy. There you go.
All right. Glad to bring that back. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us. It's so much fun when you come on this podcast. Be sure to let our viewers or viewers, maybe they're viewers, I don't know. Viewers, listeners, whatever the hell they are. I don't know at this point. Where they can find you on social media and plug in anything and everything that you have coming out.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at KleinschmidtJD, and all of my work is on LB.com's Cut 4. And you can follow me on Instagram, Jessica Kleinschmidt. And don't add me on Facebook. That's just for my actual friends, you psychos. And that's
Van.
So just
damn it.
He's like, I've been waiting for her to accept it for a long time.
Years. I've just been like, come on, Topanga, accept it.
And I am also not Topanga. So thanks for that exit.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks again. We'll be back next week.
Hold on. I do have something. I have an important thing. This is serious, man. This doesn't happen very often. So I want to say this.
Oh, wow.
Okay. This is, again, legit, very serious. I love your work, Jessica. And I want to point out that, unfortunately, baseball still tends to be a, quote, man's game, particularly on the analytics side. I mean, with the Keith Hernandez fiasco a few years ago where he said some dumbass thing about women not belonging and whatever. Anyway, crap like that makes me angry. I was excited when you got the MLB job. I've seen writers. I follow writers like Brittany De La Cretaz. She does great work with Boston stuff.
Great.
Stacey Gotsoulias, even though she's a Yankees homer, I love her stuff. So it's important that you're doing the work you're doing, and I hope that you can become a role model for other girls, other women out there who are a little – I'm not being mean here, but more reliant on being an important analytical aspect of it and not just a pretty face. Because you are a very pretty face, but you're a smart girl, and you have the ability to back it all up.
Well, thank you very much. That totally made my day. I really appreciate
Well said,
that.
Man. Well said.
Yes, beautiful.
Once in a great while, I come up with something good. The other times, I just make fun of Frasier, but that's generally how it goes.
All about balance. Hashtag balance, yes.
Yeah, we've all got some Frasier to go watch, so we're going to get out of here. Catch you guys next week. Until then, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.